Welcome to the International Personal Finances 2018 first quarter trading update briefing hosted by Gerald Ryan, Chief Executive Officer, and Justin Lockwood, Chief Financial Officer. Today's conference is going to be recorded. I will now hand over to Gerald Ryan to begin today's conference.
Thank you, Sylvia. Good morning, everybody, and thank you for joining us this morning. I'm here with Justin Lockwood, our CFO, and we'll be happy to take you through our update for the quarter. First of all, let me apologize for the delay in starting. I know some of you have had difficulty getting in, so that's just the reason why we're a little bit later than usual. Hopefully you've had a chance to pick up the statement and have a read of it, and if you did, you'll see that we had a good start to our year and we're trading in line with our own internal plans. So for the group as a whole, we delivered credit issue growth of 3% year-on-year, and this was driven primarily by our growth engines, which are IPF Digital and Mexico Home Credit Business. You know, we continue to trade in what I would describe as an intensely competitive environment, particularly in Europe, and a challenging regulatory environment as well. But our credit issue growth in home credit in Europe contracted slightly, which was not a surprise for us. So we're okay with that for the first quarter. I'm particularly pleased to report that credit quality and our collections performance continues to be very good, and our annualized impairment as a percentage of revenue, you'll see, stands at 26.4%. Now, that's an improvement of a full 1.4 percentage points over the same period at the end of 2017. Now, you'll have picked up from the statement that all of these numbers are now under the new IFRS 9 standard, and that will be the case, obviously, for all future releases. Now, on the funding front, we've maintained a robust balance sheet, and headroom on our facilities currently stands at a touch under £190 million. So if we move briefly onto the trading operations and starting with European Home Credit, as you know, we agreed at the last update to the market that we would report European Home Credit as a single entity. So in line with our expectations, as I mentioned just above, you know, we saw a modest contraction of about 4% year-on-year in our top line there. But within that result, we saw a much better than expected outcome in Romania, because when we compare that to Q1 2017, in Q1 17 we were bedding in the new rules there, and so the comparatives are easier for us. The overall quality of the portfolio is good, and together with really good collections, we saw a 1.7 percentage point improvement in the annualized impairment as a percentage of revenue. So that now stands at 19%, so clearly significantly below our target range of 25 to 30. Now, before we move on to Mexico and sticking with Romania, I do want to comment on the regulatory piece there. Well, you'll recall that at the time of our full year results, we explained that there was a proposal to introduce an APR cap in Romania for both new and existing credit, and that the cap should stand at 18%. Now, at the time, it was proposed that that would be, I would say, rushed through, and there was a possibility it would have been done in a matter of weeks. The fact is that there is now, I would describe, a much more robust and erudite debate going on as to what an appropriate cap might be, both for the market participants like ourselves and also for the consumers. But the proposal as it stands is 18%. The fact that it has been delayed, in our view, is a good thing. It has yet to come to committee stage before it would then travel on to the lower chamber. There are now lots and lots of key stakeholders who are involved in this debate, and the debate is, I would characterize at this point, reasonably mature. So the idea of rushing through 18 seems to have gone, and there is a genuine debate about what should we do. But in any event, we do expect that there will be a cap introduced in Q2, and so we just wanted to reiterate what we'd said at the year-end results. And of course, we will update the market at our half-year results once we've had a chance to digest whatever the cap is that does come into place and its potential impact on the business. So to sum up for Europe as a whole, we delivered a good operational performance. We're remaining focused on improving the sustainability of our businesses there, and we're doing that by investing in technology to make the business more modern and more efficient, and at the same time driving improvement in portfolio quality, which you can see coming through Q1 numbers. So if we turn now to Mexico, my whole executive team and I spent all of last week in Mexico, and I've been out there, I think, three or four times already this year. And I would say we came back really energized by what we saw in the business. Really good momentum there, team very strong and very positive about their prospects and what they are delivering. Now, the 5% growth that you saw in quarter one was against a very tough set of comparatives for Q1 2017. So as we move through the year, we do expect to see an acceleration of growth coming out of Mexico. And that will be driven by a number of areas. So as you know, we are opening 5 new branches this year. They will all be complete by the end of Q2, so they will bring on some growth. And clearly, we opened a similar with 6 branches last year and the year before. So those are beginning to have an impact in the business in terms of top line. And what was particularly pleasing, and we saw when we were there last week, is that we're also driving much better productivity out of the existing branch network. And so that's contributing to the top line at this point. And then finally, of course, you have Negocio, which is our micro business lending unit where we're investing a reasonable amount of money because we see a really big opportunity for that business in Mexico. So for the year as a whole, we're reiterating our expectations that we'll deliver credit issue growth in the range of 12 to 15%, which is exactly what we said at the year-end results. In terms of portfolio quality, well, collections were good by our team there, and impairment as a percentage of revenue on the annualized basis stands at 36.1%, and we expect this to trend towards our 35% target under IFRS 9 by the end of this year. And then moving on to IPF Digital, well, once again, our teams there delivered a very strong top-line number and improved credit quality. So we're seeing good momentum in the digital businesses with credit issue growth of 24%. And as you know, we split those businesses into established and new, the established being the Fenno-Baltics area and new being Poland, Spain, Australia and Mexico. Now, for the established markets, we continue to be very pleasantly surprised with the growth rate coming out of those, and we delivered 21% growth in the first quarter there, driven by a particularly strong result in Finland, where the popularity of our credit line product, which is the revolving facility, is proving very strong indeed. As for the, and I should say that we would expect that growth rate on the established markets to moderate as we go through the year. I think it would be amazing to see that continue, but we're very pleased with the first quarter there. In terms of the new markets, credit issue growth was at 29%. And we expect that to accelerate as we go through the year. And the reason we expect that is clearly we're investing more money, particularly in Poland and Spain, where we're building out the brand and getting our presence more widely known. So we expect good, strong delivery from those two markets as we go through the year. As for the credit quality, as I mentioned, it is improving, and impairment to revenue we saw at 41.1%. So that's improved from 45.6% at the year end. And clearly, as the book matures, we would expect that to improve over time. So that's it for the Q1. So in terms of the quarter, we were happy with the quarter, a good start to the year in line with our plan. And as we look ahead, clearly continuing to optimize our operations in Europe on the home credit side. Obviously, we have to have a really good focus on the regulatory developments that we're seeing in Romania. There is no new news on regulatory in Poland. I should just say that for clarity. There's nothing new to come out of there. And then we're particularly pleased with what we're seeing coming through in Mexico and digital, and reiterating our stance for Mexico there as well. So with that, if there are any new developments on Romania that are not in line with what we've said here, clearly we would come back to the market, but our expectation is that we'll update the market at the half year. So Sylvia, with that, I'll hand it over to you to see if there are any questions that either Justin or I can answer for people on the line.
Thank you very much, sir. Ladies and gentlemen, if you would like to ask a question at this time over the phone, please press the star or asterisk key followed by the digit 1 on your telephone. Please ensure that the mute function on your telephone is switched off to allow your signal to reach our equipment. If you find that your question has already been answered, you may remove yourself from the queue by pressing star 2. Again, please press star 1 to ask a question over the phone. We will pause just for a moment to allow everyone the opportunity to signal. And our first person from the queue is Gary Greenwood from Shore Capital. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi, it's Gary at Shore. Hi, can
morning,
you hear
Gary.
Me?
Yeah,
Gary, can hear you, Gary. Yeah,
good. Just a couple of questions around sort of regulation, really. I mean, I hear what you're saying on Romania, which sort of sounds encouraging in terms of a sort of more grown-up debate there. Obviously, as you said, there's been no sort of further progress from the Polish Ministry of Justice. I mean, are you getting the sense that the sort of regulatory pressures, while still tough, are maybe sort of starting to ease a little bit in Eastern Europe, in the sense that these debates are becoming sort of more sensible now and there's more thought being put towards them? So that's the first question. And the second question, if you could just remind us where you're up to in terms of the dispute with the tax authorities in Poland and sort of just remind us of the time frame for the appeal, etc.
Yeah, okay. Happy to do that, Gary. So on the regulatory front, it is pleasing to see that, as you use the word, a more mature debate, and I would say that's a good description in Romania. Clearly, as always, I caveat these by saying we're dealing with politicians in the main, and at any point in time, you know, opinions can change. So, but I would say that we're being very successful with others in getting the message across that there should be a space for our type of business in all of these markets, because we help our consumers to build a credit profile that helps them to go on subsequently and obtain finance, whether it be cheaper finance or moving into banks and stuff like that. So I think we play a really important role for introducing people like that into the consumer finance market. And the stakeholders that we talk to are more and more willing to engage in that discussion. As to whether that says that over Eastern Europe as a whole, there's less pressure, I think probably the less pressure is coming from the fact that practically all of our countries now have a cap of one form or another. I mean, clearly the exceptions are Romania, Czech, and Spain. Romania, we know what's happening there. Czech, there's a discussion that's going on there and has gone on for a long, long time. And Spain, we just think will come in due course. And so once all of these countries have caps, our expectation is a tweaking than anything radical. Now, clearly, if market participants step out of line, you would expect some regulatory reaction. But by and large, I think market participants play by the rules. So, yeah, I would like to think that as these last caps come into place, then we will have a new playing field, as it were, and regulators will be willing to stand back and see how that works. On the tax one, Justin, do you want to comment?
Yeah, so Gary, you'll recall that we decided to move the tax dispute into something called mutual agreement proceedings, which is this negotiation process between the Ministry of Finance in Poland and HMRC in the UK, because you've got two statutory entities in different countries that are impacted by this decision. We are providing information to both parties as part of that process, but as we, I think, indicated before, it can take up to 2 years for the two parties to come to a decision, and if they haven't come to a decision after that two-year period, then there's a further 6 months of arbitration. So we're continuing to provide information into that process, but there's no real material. Well, there's no update at all in terms of the process. So we expect it to be a long running process.
That's great. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Gary.
Thank you. And now we take our next person from the queue, who's Owen Jones from Citigroup. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Hi. Good morning. Thank you. A question on Mexico. Should we think about any further branches being opened in the second half of the year versus the five that you mentioned for the second quarter? And we've been in a situation before where we've seen you expanding in Mexico, and it hasn't always gone to plan in terms of the actual rollout. It would be interesting to hear your thoughts about how you're approaching this rollout or the expansion of the branch network, given what's happened in Mexico before, perhaps how you're thinking about it differently or how you're approaching it differently this time round. And then a quick question on IPFD. In terms of the accelerated growth that we saw in the established markets during the first quarter, appreciate you've said that you expect that to moderate during the rest of the year. Does the increased uptick or the strong demand for the credit line product, does that do anything to your expectations with regards to the P&L for that business, given sort of the rates and utilization, et cetera? Thanks very much.
Okay, morning, it's Gerard here. Okay, so just to deal with them in order, in terms of the branches, we are going to open 5 this year, and those 5 will all be complete by the end of this quarter, quarter 2, and we won't be opening any further branches for the second half of the year. So the way you're quite right, we learned a lesson a couple of years ago in terms of management stretch, I suppose. And so the way we do it now and have done last year and this year again is to open them in a condensed period with a very targeted effort by a specified group of people whose only focus is to open those branches. So all of them will be done in Q2, nothing in the second half of the year. And for us then, and we've proven this last year, that makes it far more digestible and gives us the second half then to get those branches established, as it were, and working effectively by the end of the year. So our view would be that the plan that we have in place for those branches, and also I think you could take into account the expansion of Negocio, our view is that we have a robust process in place, both in terms of capacity and timeline, to deliver those without upsetting what I would call the BAU side of the operations. And as I said, Justin and I and the rest of the exec team spent all of last week in Mexico, and clearly we went through all of those plans in detail, and we feel comfortable that they will be delivered according to plan.
Owen, just to add to that, I think the year that you're referring to, we were actually planning to open 10 branches in that year, and we decided to scale that back to the 6. And 6 is a number that we successfully opened in 2017, and that's what we're trying to do again in 18, or we are doing in 18.
And then just to move on to your third question, the IPFD one. Yes, Credit Line is responsible for the growth there, and it's really proving to be a very, very popular product because it's easy for the customer to use. Essentially, they don't pay anything for the product until they start to use it, and as soon as they repay it under whatever timeline they like, as it were, as long as they're making the minimum payment due, then they just pay for the period of use. And it's proving to be very attractive, very easy for customers to use, and that's generating a lot of this volume. The great thing about it is it's also what I would call a very sticky product, because it doesn't have a finite end date, as it were. It's not like an installment loan. So the customer pops in and out of it as they require the facility. Now, your question is, does that then impact the financials in a different way to, let's say, installment loan? And the answer would be no. It's essentially a drawdown by the customer. They pay for the outstanding balance at our standard interest rates, and that just flows through the P&L as normal.
And no change in our expectations for the result for IPFD for the year as a whole. So just we're very pleased with the first quarter's performance.
Okay, great. Thank you very much. A quick follow-up, if that's okay, just on Mexico. How have you seen the competitive environment sort of evolve during the first quarter, given your pretty good performance in the first quarter, that 5%? How does that compare to what you've seen so far with your competitors?
It's a very interesting question, because when we were there last week, our major competitors published their results, and the vast majority of them actually had a really difficult quarter. What we saw is that a number of our competitors tried to expand last year. They've suffered some indigestion, and their impairment seems to have gone up significantly. In some instances, we've seen significant reductions in customer numbers. We view that as being a clear out of some business they've written that they can no longer collect. There is one competitor that is doing very well, but they're doing extremely well because not alone do they have a finance company, but they also have a very large retail outlet, or not outlet, but number of stores. And so they attract customers at the point of sale. but for other more traditional competitors like ours, they seem to have had quite a difficult quarter. So for us, it made us feel, relatively speaking, even better about our team's performance in Mexico for the quarter.
Great. Thank you very much.
Excellent.
Thank you. And ladies and gentlemen, as a reminder, it's star one to ask questions over the phone. We will take our next person from the queue, who's Mark Thomas from Hardman. Please go ahead. Your line is now open.
Morning, gents. Just a quick one, if I may. I'm just trying to reconcile with Romania that the credit issue growth was stronger than expected against, obviously, the regulatory set. So I just wondering if you could comment on the type of growth that you've seen there.
Morning, Mark. Well, it's very standard. It's our normal product. The reason why the growth rate looks particularly positive is that Q1 17 was a particularly difficult quarter, because in Q1 17 we had to introduce new regulations that saw a dip in the volume of business we were able to write. Those regulations clearly were bedded in throughout 17, and so with that now being in place, when you look at Q1 18 versus Q1 17, you see a very positive picture. But notwithstanding that, the team are doing very well.
I think just to add to that, you'll recall from our full year announcement that our business in Romania has become regulated by the National Bank in the first part of 2018, so in February. And that required us to make some further changes to our credit settings, and our expectations were that they would have a significant impact on volumes, and actually the performance has been a little bit better than we originally estimated, and that sits on top of Gerard's other comments.
I mean, just follow up if I may. I mean, if the cap was introduced at the level which is proposed, and it's applied retrospectively, would the new lending in Q1 be profitable?
So the way it's proposed at the moment, Mark, is it won't be retrospective in the way many of us would think of it, but it applies to existing loans. So as the proposal stands, you wouldn't be required to go back and recalculate. And this is, as we understand the proposal now, you wouldn't be required to go back and recalculate existing loans as if they had been issued under 18% cap. You'd be required to ensure that the payments going forward were under an 18% cap. So that is our understanding.
Until such time as the cap is introduced, but then yes. for the duration when the cap's effective going forward, it might not be profitable.
So what we would have to do is see what is the rate that the cap comes in at, and then, because at the moment there are discussions about the cap potentially being variable by either loan size, by term, something like that. So we'd have to see exactly what the final outcome on the cap is, and then how that applies to our existing and go-forward business, and if we could then, what amendments to the product structure would we make to comply with that cap. Now, just for reference, you know, when a cap was introduced in Poland in March 2016, clearly that brought down our rates there quite significantly. So we had to reconstruct our product there, and we did that successfully. But it has to be said that an 18% APR cap in Romania would be extremely difficult.
Thank you.
Thanks, Mark.
Thank you. And as another reminder, ladies and gentlemen, it's star one to ask a question over the phone. There are no further questions over the phone at this time, so I would like to hand the call back to our speakers for any additional or closing remarks.
Okay, thank you very much, Sylvia. Well, thank you, everybody, for joining. Just to reiterate, trading in line with plan, so we're happy with the first quarter's performance. Europe doing reasonably well, slight contraction as we expected, monitoring the progress of that piece of regulation in Romania, and we'll be back to the market, we think, at the half year with an update on that. Then the two growth engines of Mexico and digital doing very well, and overall portfolio quality heading in an even better direction, but very good at this point in time, and good headroom on our facilities. So with that, I'd just say thank you very much for joining, and talk to you again soon. Thank you. Thanks a lot, Sylvia.
Thank you. Ladies and gentlemen, that will conclude today's conference call. Thank you for your participation. You may now disconnect.